Second hour of the National Incel Report, ladies and gentlemen, on this Friday, the 5th of January, 2007. My guest today, the Reverend Ted Pike. The website is truthtellers.org. Please go to that website, read the pertinent information. We're talking about free speech in this country, all right? And apparently, truth is hate for those who hate the truth. Ted, I would like to see the ADL's 501c3 pulled, wouldn't you?
I certainly would. I'd like to see an awful lot more than that. Actually, the ADL is in blatant violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act of 1937, which requires any agent of a foreign power, namely Israel, to be registered as such. Instead, they portray themselves as some kind of all-American political and religious institution that has a privileges to tax exemption.
And the irony of this is they're setting up their little umbrella protection game. If there is not anti-Semitism as a claim that this is going after Zionism or anything else, well, then they're going to bring down the wrath of people for a small group and select group of people, very, very powerful, I will admit, that they, in fact, may be bringing on what they're claiming that they want to prevent.
Oh, absolutely. That's their whole game. They take away free speech in dozens of countries of Europe and the Americas and so on. They incite bitter resentment against the Jewish community by all of their anti-Christianity. Their legal forces take down the Ten Commandments in the courthouses, and they take down the Christmas trees and take down the manger scenes at Christmas, and they promote homosexuality in the school system, all this kind of thing. And this is not lost on the people of America and the people of the world. People look on and say, my heavens, look what the Jews collectively are doing against our society. And this is wrong, of course, to tar the Jewish people in their entirety for the work of basically Jewish, radical, liberal Jewish activism, which comes out of ADL B'nai B'rith International. You see, ADL B'nai B'rith, they claim on the B'nai B'rith website they are the voice of organized world Jewry, and B'nai B'rith has about 500,000 members in about 55 nations of the world. But it's this combination of liberal politics and Orthodox Jewry within this elite of about 500,000 that are busy in all of the capitals and the legislatures and the parliament of the world militating for these hate laws. They're busy walking the halls of the Senate and House office building. They're busy in parliaments, going around and putting pressure, basically in an agenda that takes away the freedom of these nations.
And Ted, I was just thinking here, excuse me for interrupting you, but since AIPAC and the political action committees, Zionism has a very powerful sway over our Congress critters in Washington, D.C. Well, if this hate crime bill passes, and then they lovingly refer to it as the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, well, then that would become, it simply follows that it would become a hate crime to criticize those that are doing undue influence in our own federal government in regards to our should we say our unholy alliance with Israel in the Middle East right now, following the roadmap for Israel's peace plan, which is basically the subjugation of all Arab nations to Israel over there. I mean, this is where this is going.
Yes, it is.
And if, you know, and I'll remind people of this worldwide. They keep claiming that anti-Semitism is on the rise. That is a misrepresentation. What is happening worldwide is more and more people are waking up to the Zionist political agenda, and they're rejecting it flat out, but immediately you'll be tarred and feathered by saying that you're anti-Semitic. We'll be right back with your calls right after this. We're back. Let's go directly to your calls. Daryl in Texas. Thanks for holding, Daryl.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
You know, I guess what I want to call in is one of the few groups that is not being protected by this legislation, and that is white Christian heterosexuals.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, geez, that really nails you as being a hate crime minority, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually going further. I'm a white Christian heterosexual male, so I'm sure I'll be covered fully by this legislation, and I'll be protected.
I'm sure.
But, you know, the thing I wonder, and this applies to this bill, and everything from light rail to, you know, to things that are voted down or voted away. And it seems very hard for citizens to get things voted on in Congress or voted on in the legislature to get some type of referendum. It's almost impossible to get a candidate, independent candidate. You have to get all these signatures. How do these things that get voted down, such as this legislation or these other measures, they keep rearing their head, and it seems like it's easy as pie for certain groups to get things on the ballot, whereas or get them voted on in Congress or get them voted on in the legislature, and then other things it seems impossible.
Well, and the problem is also that many of these laws that are drafted and they try to get into the states and federal legislatures on a constitutional basis, it doesn't pass a constitutional muster in the first place. So why are the bills even being created? And as you pointed out, why are they given special favor? And voila, here's the stuff in front of our face, which we've either got to defeat. It shouldn't have been presented in the first place. Number one, because it doesn't pass that litmus test. But as you stated, you know, where's our political redress once they ram something like this through? You can't get it off the books.
You know, we talked about ADL and making the phone calls to your congressman. It seems to me like, you know, making phone calls and writing letters is very useful, but really there's no fear of reprisal. These people in Congress have no fear. It seems like no one ever looks to see who voted for what. If we ever had a mechanism, be it a billboard that listed everyone's name that voted for a bill, for instance, K. Bailey Hutchinson, whenever they changed most favored nation status for China and they changed the name of it to PNTR, Permanent and Normal Trade Relations with China, K. Bailey Hutchinson voted for it. I've never been able to get an answer from her office of why she voted for it, but, you know, if everyone knew, if we could somehow put on a billboard or get to circulate how these people are voting on issues, and it was a regular thing where, you know, soon this billboard will contain members of Congress that voted for this bill.
Ted, they have such a creature, and forgive me, our T1 is down right now. It's being worked on, so I can't go on the web, but there are many different sites out there that explain the bills and how they're voted on, who voted, who abstained, and so on and so forth, isn't there?
Well, I think American Free Press often publishes that kind of thing. I'm not an expert on that. But I think what we have to do is basically two-pronged, and this is my basic strategy. Number one, we have to expose the ADL to the American public as this sinister backroom force, largely Jewish, or I should say entirely Jewish, composed of these Jewish radical liberal activists who are subverting Christian civilization. And I'm very specific, all the programs I'm on in broadcasting and disseminating this reality that there is an evil Jewish leadership, not only in America but the world, which is working toward takeover, basically. And once we get a widely enough understanding of the eye of this octopus, not just chopping the tentacles, but once we drive a harpoon through this eye and everyone recognizes that this is where this moral sewage that is being pumped out of Congress is coming from, I think that there's going to be an embarrassment in the Jewish community, and they're going to start putting pressure, like Rabbi Lapin is, upon their theological and political brethren in liberal Judaism, which will retard the aggressiveness of the ADL to do this kind of thing that our caller is talking about. And secondly, we just simply, by sheer force of mass numbers, have to inundate Congress with the feelings of the American people about these hate bills. And this has happened in the last, as I say, we've had three major victories. The last one was last winter when Bill O'Reilly, I believe, was probably influenced by some of my email facts about how Teddy Kennedy was standing in the way of the passage of the Children's Protection Act. And between between O'Reilly and myself, we brought in tens of thousands, literally tens of thousands of calls, angry calls into Congress against Kennedy and his hate bill agenda. And it's, you know, I have an anecdote. About a year ago, we have a little bird feeder out here, and the little birds in winter come, and the little tiny little things eating the seeds, and a hawk came down. Hawk came down and perched right in the middle of the bird feeder, and those little baby, little tiny chickadees and juncos, there were just dozens of them gathered around that hawk, and they made such a ruckus, that big hawk got confused and flew away. Now, that's where we are. If enough people are howling in a holy chorus of protest against this, this does penetrate into the minds even of these liberals. And they may say, well, I guess I better back off on that and so on. And the fact of the matter is also that many members of Congress don't even know there's a hate bill in. They have never read it. It's described in different terms than hate crimes legislation.
They don't read a whole lot of bills up there.
That's right. And I have people saying, Ted, I called my members of Congress this week, and they don't know anything about a hate bill. Well, you know, the legislative record shows that the House voted it overwhelmingly last a year ago, and the Senate voted it in. And, you know, there's been these big votes, but they... So many of these the members of Congress are oblivious to the not only the content but the title and so on that they really don't even know the issue. And especially this brochure now, I think, is a window of tremendous opportunity. It's a powerful short brochure that will get in there with hard-hitting facts about what's really going on. And I believe there's enough sincerity in many of the staffers there, those legislative aides, that if we get literally tens of thousands of those brochures going in there, they won't be able to ignore this issue any longer. And thousands of people are coming to our website and printing those off and sending them in.
You want a little irony here? NKUSA that has been and every year demonstrate, and they get at least 10,000 Jews in New York City, complete with the regalia and the yarmulkes and the pigtails and the black garb. And it's an impressive sight. They're out there against Israel. They're against Zionism, and it's going to be ironic. The ADL is pitting themselves against Jews and a well-oiled, I might say, and a very large Jewish organization. These two are going to be going head-to-head. And another thought occurred to me, this is going to be the showdown, because if we go after that ADL, the first thing, what are they going to scream, Ted? Anti-Semitism. That is exactly right. So this thing is going to come to a head real fast. And I'm warning people out there, if you don't like what's been going on in our country right now, we've been basically powerless to stop a lot of it. The educational process must continue in this country. But what they're trying to do is shut those down that are trying to inform our fellow Americans. That's how dangerous and critical this all is.
Well, we should be encouraged, too, that, you know, talk radio bears little resemblance, in my opinion, to where it was 3 years ago. I was warned by a prominent talk show host who had been on literally hundreds of affiliates. He said, never mention the ADL, Ted. People will think you're anti-Semitic. Just infer that there's a cabalistic plot. You know, use these obscure terms and let them fill in their dots. Maybe 1% will be able to connect those dots. And I said, no, I've got to speak out. I've got to speak the whole truth. And in the last 2 years, the awareness of this evil Jewish conspiracy has proliferated now through talk radio, so that it is actually very much accepted for me to get on now and speak the whole truth. You know, it was interesting when I was on Thor Tolo's program yesterday. I spit out the whole truth on just right in the heart of the evangelical country and evangelical movement, and hundreds, probably at least 100,000 listeners were tuned in Seattle. And the calls that came in were showing that even evangelicals are now aware that the Babylonian Talmud is full of all kinds of perversions and so on. What's happening is the internet now is leaping over these barriers of information, so that people in the evangelical community especially are aware of what is being said in alternative talk radio and even what Ted Pike is saying. You know, in fact, Thor Tolo was saying that he had been in discussion with James Dobson about Ted Pike, and what Doug Dobson thought of Ted Pike, and I guess there was disapproval there. Anyway, I told him that I didn't even know that Dobson knew I existed, and he was astonished because he said that I had been an object of some concern. And so
was Dobson being critical of you?
Well, he didn't go into detail, but he certainly made it clear that Dobson did not want to be associated with me.
Ah, well, and you see what this is threatening, Ted? This Judeo-Christendom that's been set up in this country.
That's right. You see, these Judeo-Christian leaders have basically not told the people the whole truth. They've given a half-truth with a perspective on world events and God's chosen people and biblical prophecy and so on. And so when Ted Pike comes along, and he, as an evangelical pastor and a potential leader, he begins to tell the whole truth, they're immediately threatened because they will be put in a bad light.
All right. Daryl, is Daryl still online with us?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. If you have any other comment or question, we've got to make it brief. We'll bring you back after the break. Mike, Chris, Wayne, and others, we'll get to all of your calls. 800-313-9443. This may be one of the most important shows, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard in quite some time. All right, we're back, folks, and I've got to do this before I forget it. This program is sponsored in part by Headache Stay Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. And, gee, I think I'll take a couple of these right now because I feel a headache coming on in the program matter we're discussing today. 800-327-0727, or go to their website, headachestaygone.com. And again, that's 800-327-0727. And Daryl, in Texas, you had a follow-up?
Yes, I did. I was going to say, well, number one, I agree with you about the 501(c). Maybe we should put some pressure on that and start howling about that, and maybe they'll back off on that angle. But, you know, I've never really cared for the term anti-Semitism for one reason, and that is it's a word given to a special group to sort of differentiate them. I use the term anti-Jewish, but I don't really like the word anti-Semitism because it equates immune from criticism, sort of in my world. And there sort of seems to be a hierarchy, it seems like, in our society. And I'll give an example. You know, you have different movements. You have Christian, you have Jew, you have various things, environmentalism. Well, they found, I think it was in Germany, that someone years ago had planted a group of trees in a forest in the form of a swastika. And you could only see it when flying over with an airplane, but the trees were a different color from the rest of the background, and you could tell it. It was subtle, but you could tell it. So immediately, you had people howling for this thing to be cut out. So they went in there and they just cut the trees out that made up the swastika, which made a huge contrast, and then you could see it very plainly from the airplane that it was a swastika. So then what they did is they had to go back in the forest, and they had to cut out a huge circle. And so my point, I guess, is if that would have been a cross, or if it would have been something pertaining to Christianity, I think the hierarchy would have kicked in, and environmentalism would have trumped Christianity, and they wouldn't have even let us cut the trees down with the anti-Jewish or anti-Semitism movement. Not only did they cut the trees down, but then they trumped the environmentalism movement and cut all the trees down. So just a thanks I want to give. Thanks for letting people call in on their cell phone and also listen on their cell phone. That's vital because I go out of the listening area a lot. And I'm getting into listening on my cell phone a lot when I'm away. So I appreciate that feature that you have on RBN.
Okay, that's not a problem. And I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
All righty. Mike in Arizona. Thanks for holding, Mike.
Yes, John, Ted, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
See, I promised not to be long-winded like I was that last time. Daryl, he had asked if there was a website or somewhere where we could go to get the voting record and things.
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure on the voting record, but I know that there's one. It's thomas.loc.gov that you can get the text of the bills and everything like that. Make sure that you don't put in the www. Just run it thomas.loc.gov, and then you can get the bill, who introduced the bill, who's the co-sponsor of the bill, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and where it's at, what committee it came out of, who was on the committee. Yeah, you're exactly right, and that's what I couldn't remember before. Thomas.loc.gov.
Yes. Yes, and I should mention, John, that I do have the entire text of the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act at truthtellers.org. People can come there and click from the home page. I also have in red text all of my extensive commentary on this very devious legislation.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to run a banner ad on RBN Live, and we're going to put an alert out there.
Good.
Okay, and we'll also make that link right over to your website, truthtellers.org. Mike, anything else?
Yes, one thing I'm kind of wondering, I already called my congressman and asked him this one question, and they admitted that it was pretty much true, but since this has already passed committee before in previous years, that this can go straight to the floor. It doesn't have to go to the Judiciary Committee or anything like that at all, so it could creep up. It could be voted on in one day. And I'm also starting to wonder if maybe this has been coordinated with the mainstream media because they're losing listenership and subscription, and what they're going to do is use this to shut down the alternate media like RBN to drive people back to the Jewish-controlled media for their limited amount of information.
It very well could be. A good point.
Yes.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Later.
Okay.
God bless you guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go to Chris, back from Alaska. Chris.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know I was cut off there, but I wanted to just make a comment and ask a brief question. I mean, my point was I don't know how we can accomplish anything if our thinking and our actions are confused and without proper foundation. I'm always hearing people that play the role of federal citizens lay claim to rights when they don't have any rights.
Right.
Federal citizens only have a couple of rights laid out in the Bill of Rights, and they have them as privileges.
Exactly.
Ted dismissed this as legal theory, but it's fact, and I have numerous Supreme Court cases to back this up. You know, Congress had no intentions to provide newly freed slaves the Second Amendment and allow them to walk around with guns. I think it's important for people to decide for themselves whether they have privileges from government or unalienable rights from God.
And that is
they don't mix.
That is
either have one or
exactly.
the other.
And that is the basis. Do you have a question here?
Yeah, I mean, my question is if we don't start living as posterity of the people or state citizens, as the case may be, what hope is there to constitutionally reform anything? Because as long as we're playing into the federal racket, we're just feeding it and supporting it.
All right, we've got to take the break. We'll get Ted's follow-up to your question, and we'll do that right after the break. Wayne, Bob, Wayne, two Waynes today, Keith, Roger, and others. We'll get to all your calls, we promise, on this Friday edition. The National Intel Report.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We're back. Let's go directly to our phone calls. Wayne in Canada. Hello, Wayne.
How are you?
We're good. Go ahead, sir.
Good. I just wanted to add to some examples here in Canada that Ted had previously mentioned. And one was that the mayor of Hamilton, Ontario, some years back had declined the gay and lesbian people a right to have a parade. And within short order, he had been hauled into the Human Rights Commission and fined $10,000 for not allowing the parade. And you can bet that the year after, the parade is now a yearly event.
Hmm.
A dentist in Vancouver, Canada, who upon learning that her patient was a homosexual man with HIV, had decided to put on some extra protective plastic so that if any blood splashed up on her that she wouldn't be infected. She, in turn, was brought up before the Human Rights Commission and fined $5,000.
You mean trying to protect yourself against blood splatter, which every dentist and doctor does and surgeon in this country does, that it's hateful to do something like that?
Well, it must have been, John, because she was brought up before the Human Rights Commission and fined $5,000.
Oh, so we have to expose ourselves to HIV because it might offend somebody.
Correct. And along those lines also, there was a blood scandal here in Canada with the Red Cross that I believe started in 1988 with a great number of people having received tainted blood who are HIV positive now as a result of the Red Cross not being allowed to divulge the information that some of the blood had HIV in it, and as a result, there was a massive lawsuit here that's just getting settled some years later, but they are no longer allowed here to ask anybody such questions for fear of offending anybody.
I know you're a Canadian, and Wayne, you probably love Canada very much, but
sometimes,
but how does it make you feel here that if you had to pull the ejection seat and get out of Canada and come down to the United States because they're curtailing your freedoms up there, how does it make you feel that your escape route might be cut off to your south?
Well, I guess once you build that long wall that you're proposing between our country and yours at some point, I won't be able to even scale it. But if I were to answer your question, no, I wouldn't want to go there, because knowing the kind of bill that you people are facing there, I can only urge your listeners to get on it just like Ted is suggesting. Jump all over this and make this the fight of your life and continue. And I'll tell you why as well. Another politician here, Zen Robinson, in Vancouver, Canada, who is a homosexual, very proud of that, stole a trinket. It was a diamond ring one day for his lover. He was having some psychological problems. And nothing happened for about a whole month, and he was not even charged with the crime. Three reasons, I believe. One, he was a homosexual. Secondly, he was a politician. Third, he was also a lawyer, and he was not disbarred. However, he had lobbied for over 15 years to pass this homosexual legislation through our parliament here. I was incensed by the fact that he had not been charged for those 30 days because he had taken away the right of free speech for 33 million Canadians with reference to having had this homosexual act passed. Now, another example here in Calgary proper was the Catholic bishop, Bishop Henry, who is quite an outspoken man and stands his ground. He was going to be hauled down toward the Human Rights Commission here in Alberta, Canada. And by the way, we're just above Montana for those who are geographically challenged. And he stood his ground and was going to be taken because he had taken a stand against this homosexual marriage where they're going to be finding homosexual or lesbian unions as a marriage. And I do know of those examples that Ted was referring to in the adjacent province with reference to the gentleman who had been brought up on charges and the printer in Toronto who did go bankrupt as a result. And no, I would not want to eject into the United States. I'd be running as fast as I can. But more importantly, your listeners just have to make sure that they make this the fight of their life.
Well, let me give the listeners out there, it's a good example, not done on hate crime law basis, but on firearms ownership in Australia, when they banned ownership of just about every weapon that you're allowed to possess in Canada. What happened? Oh, that's right. The people were left defenseless. In England, the same thing happened. And this was supposedly to take the guns out of the criminals' hands. Well, if somebody is going to commit a crime, that's what makes them criminals to begin with. So what do they care if they break one more law into their foray of lawlessness? It makes absolutely no sense at all. But I'm afraid, as Ted said, that these hate crime laws were passed in Canada back in 1971. And where were the Canadians to stand up for free speech?
Well, the difficulty there is that the sheeple were not interested at all, because it's legislation that primarily gets passed, as you may appreciate, on an evening before the parliament recesses for the summer.
Yes.
But the hate crimes law, in fact, there's ample law on the books to take care of any form of crime with reference to an assault toward an individual.
That's right.
However, they've elevated the crime to a hate crime if you're a protected minority. Now, the unfortunate part about that is that it transfers over to free speech. And so that is even more critical in the fact that, and as Ted had suggested, that people are walking on eggshells. But in point of fact here in Canada, if you're not outspoken, I mean, I am, needless to say, and I find that people cringe at the fact that I even bring things up like this, and it's although I'm out of my mind, but they don't seem to understand and they don't get it. the same as the gun control legislation that we have in Canada. That's an absolute joke, a $2 billion fiasco. And we know that assaults with guns and the like have gone down over the years. The statistics are out there. And the only people, by and large, who are using guns against each other are drug dealers and people who are criminals. They'll get the guns notwithstanding. It does not help to have a gun control legislation.
That's absolutely right.
And it leads to confiscation.
That's right.
Yes.
But the one last point I would like to make is that the radio show, more appropriately your network, RBN, I only wish that we had something like that here in Canada. I am a supporter, John, of your network on a monthly basis, and I want to urge everybody out there to dig into their pocket and get the Coke and the chocolate bars, put the money toward RBN, because they have no idea how lucky they are to have a station like yours where you can bring up most important topics of this nature, and in fact, for the time being, have free speech on your radio network.
Well, that's high praise coming from Canada, and we appreciate it very much, Wayne, and thank you for your support.
And keep on.
Wayne, before you hang up, thank you for this outstanding call and report from Canada. I'm just wondering if you might be able to enumerate some of these cases in detail and get them emailed to me at tedpike@www.truthtellers.org. And this is the kind of thing which I do have in this brochure, which we are sending now to the aides in Congress. But whatever you could add to that will be published one way or another, and then the word will get out, and we'll be able to redeem some of the grief that's happened in Canada.
And it carries a lot of weight because you have been victimized by these hate crime laws in Canada, and it adds a certain weight when we get these reports from the citizenry in these various countries, and we would appreciate that very much.
Just one other thing, because Ted did happen to mention Paul Fromm in Canada and Doug Christie.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Fromm did document a whole host of cases, and he did publish a newsletter, but I've not seen it for some time. In fact, I support both Doug Fromm and Doug Christie. The one problem with Doug Christie, as you may know, Ted, he's getting to be an older gentleman and won't be around too long, but he is a tiger and he is a defender of freedom.
Yes, he is. Yes, I've talked to him, and he's briefed me up there. He told me, in fact, that if anyone even criticized homosexuals as having a higher rate of AIDS than the rest of the population, he could be brought up in charges there in D.C.
We used to call that risky behavior here in America.
Uh-huh.
And then,
you know, in D.C., their hate laws are so extreme that any published article that is even likely to cause contempt of some federally protected group can be indicted. It doesn't have to have been proven or even a complaint made about it. If it is judged likely to somehow someday cause contempt, it's a crime against the province of British Columbia.
And Ted, did anybody ever think that when the government came out years ago to protect people, minorities, because of their race or their creed or their color or their religious preferences or whatever, did anybody actually believe that they would extrapolate on that to form this hate crime legislation and attempt to pass this? Not once, not twice, but three times already in the United States Congress, and they're getting ready to do it again. Did anybody even fathom that something like that would come out of that?
Yeah, well, the ADL is publicly boasted that they will never, never give up until they have passed a federal hate bill. You see, this is so important to them because it gives them everything they need to set up basically a police state system in America with people like Chertoff at the very top. And some people are saying, well, how do you know it's even going to be introduced? Or what's the bill number? What's the title? You know, as if it is just coming out of the blue. No, it was first introduced in 1998, and it's been introduced roughly six times since then, and we have walloped it very resoundingly in the last several years, three times. But the ADL never gives up, and they're putting it in a low profile. They don't want a lot of publicity about it, but it is coming. And what we're doing is preemptively going in there and raising such a ruckus, prejudicing the atmosphere in Washington before it is able to be introduced.
All right. Wayne, thank you for your call, Wayne.
Yes, okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Appreciate it. Bob in Texas. We've got to move along here. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have two things I'd like to bring to Mr. Pike's attention.
Mm-hmm.
One is a State Department publication. It can be found on the Internet with by typing in IB as in boy 85066. It involves, it describes U.S. foreign assistance aid to Israel, and there's on page 3, it describes that U.S. aid to Israel has some unique aspects, and one of the points I want to bring out there is that we provide Israel all of its assistance in the first 30 days of the fiscal year rather than in 3 or 4 installments as we would for all other countries. And 2, this aid, I would like to just read real quickly. It says, the United States stipulates that the U.S. aid cannot be used in occupied territories. Over the years, some have suggested that Israel may be using U.S. assistance to establish settlements in occupied territories. Of course, Israel denies this.
Oh, we don't know about Palestine? Is
well, here's the key. Because U.S. aid is given to Israel as a direct government-to-government budgetary support without any specific project accounting, and because money is fungible, there is no way to tell how Israel uses U.S. aid. My point is this. We give $2.4 billion cash to Israel in a lump sum payment in the first 30 days of the new year. It's fungible. They have no requirement on how to account how they spend it. That money is – the ADL is being funded by taxpayer money, okay?
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it, and I would hope that you would put this publication. By the way, what I just read is on page 9 and 10.
Give me that site again.
Of that report. People need to know this.
Give me that site again.
Well, it's not a site. It's the publication number, like, you know, in a library, ISBN number.
Okay.
The number is IB as in boy 85066. And the two key pages are pages 3 and page 9 and 10. Okay? People need to know that we're paying for those organizations. All right? And the reason I called in was because you say our congressmen may not be aware of all of the hate crime laws. But what they are aware of is every time they accept a donation or do a bidding from an Israeli public affairs committee person, they know that that very same congressman has approved the transfer of cash, fungible cash that cannot be traced to Israel, okay?
And do you think, Ted, right now that the Palestinians are looking at the Israelis right now as being a terrorist organization occupying their land?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bob, thanks for your call. I appreciate that information.
Thank you, Bob.
Were you able to copy that production?
Yes, I got that all down.
Okay, great. All right, let's move on here. Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hi.
Excellent show today, as usual. Before one of the previous callers talked about some of the racial aspects of this, and it got me to thinking about some of the designations I've seen on some crimes in the recent years, and we heard about Matthew Shepard ad nauseum, but very few people heard about Jesse Durkheising out of Arkansas, who was a 13-year-old boy who was sadistically raped and murdered by two homosexuals. And as far as I know, there was never a hate crime designation on that. And then also there was the Wichita Massacre, which I would have folks keyword on the Internet, because it's a hideous crime where two black men broke into an apartment where 4 white kids were, raped them and all, did all that, made him disrobe, and then he marched him to a field and shot him in cold blood. One girl did survive. And then recently in Dallas, we had a Mexican national who walked up to an unarmed white woman on an elevator and shot her in cold blood also. And what I see happening is that the law enforcement community is very selective in how they place this hate crime label on a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see a result here is a constant devaluation of the life of white people.
Yeah, you know, if you go to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, you will find that the majority of actual hate crimes are by blacks against whites, blacks against Chicanos, like in L.A., gang-related violence and so on. So roughly, something like 90% of the hate crimes this country, you see, are racially racially motivated from blacks against other people. It's not white people. It's not white Christian bigots and homophobes who are making life hell for homosexuals. Not at all. That's a cardboard, that's a straw man that is held up as to the detriment of the Christian community. But no one is telling the truth that it's basically black on white or black on Chicano or Chicano on black and so on that constitutes these statistics.
Well, and again, we need to express here, Ted, that there are already laws on the books. Whether a person is black or Chicano or Mexican or whatever, a crime against another individual is just that, a crime. And there are laws on the books right now to take care of any eventuality.
Absolutely. You know, Matthew Shepard was killed in Wyoming, which still, to my knowledge, does not have an ADL hate law. And yet a jury, a judge and a jury, were able to take into consideration matters of motivation, bias, and so on, and he gave those two young men a total of three life sentences.
All right. When we get back, we're going to roll these calls quickly. Keith Thomas and Roger, if I've got time. You always do this to me. You always call in at the end of the program. I don't know why. If I have the time, I'll have to ask him the question why he does that. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll be right back. We've got three remaining calls. Let's try to make this as quick as possible. Keith in Indiana. Hello, Keith.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I wanted to say hi to Ted, too. I've listened to you on other networks, Dale Bradford Smith, and listened to you. And
thank you very much.
I have a lot of respect for you and the work you do. I believe you do need political activists. But my comments are more theological. You don't have a lot of time, so I just wanted to say real quick, this idea about 2,500 years ago, and Israel's law being perverted coming out of Babylon, it's not quite correct. The real problem goes back to 3,500 years ago when Israel went in and was supposed to destroy all those people and didn't do it. And they survived and they lived among them. And God said, I'm going to leave them among you. And there'll be thorns and their gods will be snares unto you. Now, the basic thing, I can prove this to you. In 2 Kings 18, if you go back, you'll see the name Sepharvaim. They were transplanted by Assyria, and they were brought over to Samaria. When Christ said, don't go unto the Samaritans, but go rather on the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he was talking about Canaanite people that lived in the outskirts of Babylon. They were brought in to replace the Israelite, the 10-tribe northern kingdom that was taken into captivity by Assyria. So it's, the roots are much deeper, and the hatred's much deeper.
All right.
And,
Keith,
okay.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
One last thing, real quick. I just wanted to tell you. Have you ever heard of a book, Ted, Symbols of Our Celto-Saxon Heritage, by W.H. Bennett?
I think I probably have. I've received a lot of identity literature like that.
It's a wonderful book because all the flags in Europe go back to Exodus and Genesis 49.
All right. Keith, we're out of time. Thanks. Appreciate your call. Thomas in Missouri. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Mr. Stattmiller.
Yes.
And greetings again, Mr. Ted Pike. Keep up the good fight. I want to personally thank you, John Stattmiller, for providing the network that you are providing and for allowing your information be passed on the web, unlike other people who make them charge amounts that people just can't afford.
I understand.
I appreciate that.
Well,
Thank you very much.
And that has always been the mission. It's one thing to have the information, and if you're going to tell somebody you need to tune into something, that they're not going to do it sight unseen, pay for it before they receive it, or teasing them with giving you 30 minutes of free Internet, and then you've got to sign up for the package. We are in a fight here. This is not a business deal. We're in a fight for our survival in this in God's republic here. And for those that would want to charge you for that information, they should be spanked.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Thomas. I appreciate it very much. Yeah, and folks, don't forget, and if you don't know this, and you can go to our website, rbnlive.com. When you go to that site, on the listen line, the box right on the left-hand side, the Listen Live, it will take you to that page, give you the complete schedule, how you can download it. It will give you all the free players. And at the bottom of that, you can email that page. So you people out there that have groups, email groups, you can send that complete page to them. And we need to wake everybody up.
I'm out to triple the numbers, at least a triple, if not quadruple, the internet listenership in the year 2007, and you can help out there. Roger in Pennsylvania. Roger, we got a little time left, and I got to ask
you
the question. Well, you do a bad on me all the time. I got to ask you, why do you always wait till the end of the program to call in?
Some other time, why don't you wrap with Ted and I'll...
All right. All right, Roger. All right, the website for the Reverend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Ladies and gentlemen, go to that site, take a look at this, all the information we talked about, all the numbers given out to our Congress critters in Congress. The time to act on this is now. Ted, we got less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you said it very well, John. It's time to act. If we lose it this time, we could lose it forever. So remember your children and grandchildren. Make those calls, send those brochures, and let's take action.
All righty, Ted, and we'll have you back. And I know you got an email list, an alert list. When there's a bill number assigned to that, we'll get it. But, folks, I'm not holding my breath on that because, as stated, it doesn't have to come out of committee. It can go right to the floor for a vote. That'll do it for this edition of the National Intel Report. We'll see you back here Monday. God bless.